You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm David Lazarus, in for Lizzie O'Leary. As we just heard, waiting in line can be frustrating, yet we all do it. We line up at the DMV. We line up for movie tickets. We line up for the latest tech. Some lines are grueling and painful. Try crawling along LA's roads with me sometime. Others, like the ones at theme parks, might be more immersive and even, dare I say, fun. A fun line, you say? How's that even possible? Dick Larson, an engineering professor at MIT and, yes, an expert on lines known as Dr. Q, which is Q European style, not so much 007, he joins us now to talk about how to structure a good line. And he says there's one company that does it better than most.
The Disney people, I think I would rate as A double plus, the best scientists and engineers of line management in the world. They have about 20 Imagineers. They call them Imagineers. They're really scientists and engineers. They're industrial engineers, operations researchers. Every amusement at any Disney property has been architected by them. They create the ride, the amusement, on a computer animation. They simulate it. They optimize the size, so they have a trade-off about capital investment versus the line weight. And then when they do design the line, they design all kinds of distractions within the lines, particularly to amuse the age category, particularly of, let's say, the children who might be in line with parents, so that you feel like the amusement has actually started before you get on your two-minute ride up Space Mountain or something like this.
All right, so let's talk about what Disney can offer perhaps to others, maybe those in the retail sector or the public sector, who don't seem to be as adept at managing lines.
Well, the key thing with the psychology of lines or the psychology of queuing, basically what you've got to look at is take the person's mind off of looking at his or her wristwatch or the time on their cell phone and distract them, entertain them, educate them, do things so that they're not concerned with the passing of each second, the passing of each minute. And this goes back actually to the 1950s in New York City, where there's this famous experiment, people who were complaining about delays for elevators. And a fellow from University of Pennsylvania, the Wharton School, figured out, maybe the issue isn't the delays for the elevators. The issue really is the complaints about the delays for the elevators. So if we can reduce the complaints for the delays for the elevators, we have solved the problem. And so with a spirit of great creativity, he said, let's put mirrors, floor-to-ceiling mirrors, next to each of the elevators and see what happens. Guess what? The complaints for the delays dropped to near zero. The statistics of the delays were unchanged. And to me, this is the birth of the psychology of queuing. Interestingly, Anaheim's Disneyland opened in the same year, and then they became the experts in generalizing this to all kinds of lines.
And it seems like technology is changing the game as well. I mean, in the theme park world, we've been seeing magic bands. We've been seeing fast passes. It seems to be an acknowledgement that, yeah, we know lines are no fun, and here's a way we can manage that.
A lot of service providers are trying to get extra revenue by giving expedited service to folks. You see this in theme parks. You see this with loyalty agreements, frequent flyer programs, that if you stay with a particular airline, you get boarded first, you get upgraded to first class or business class or whatever it is. But, you know, this goes against the idea of fairness, of first come, first serve. So I'm a little bit ambivalent about whether I really support some of these expedited things that you pay more for to jump ahead of me in line if I haven't done that. So it's a complicated trade-off with regard to social fairness and people with money getting there faster.
Waiting is a fact of life. I mean, certainly here in Southern California, people line up for everything from movies to food trucks. Is it a situation that is going to remain as such? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get better? What's the current thinking from Dr. Q?
I think the line situation today is actually better than it was 50 years ago, but we're more attuned to it, so we get more aggravated with even lesser lines.
Does that mean that even a lesser line will make our kettle boil, or that we're just simply inured to the idea that anything that I want is going to come with some sort of wait time?
Well, you know, it's all a matter of expectation. Research has shown that one's willingness to stand in line, the amount of time, is proportional to the value of service you expect. So if somebody's shopping for the family for a week and you have $200 worth of groceries, you expect to wait in that line for a while because there might be another one or two carts ahead of you like that. But if you go back the next day because you forgot a half a dozen eggs and a quart of milk, you expect to go in and out fast in the express checkout lane. So it's all a matter of expectations. People who go to a big box store with very low prices don't mind waiting because they're happy with the discounts they got. But if you go to an expensive jewelry store, a very expensive upscale jewelry store, you expect a meter greeter at the doorway for you to take you around and service your needs at that store. And so therefore, you expect no waiting. So a lot of this is expectations, and the retailers and the people who provide service need to understand they have to manage the customer's expectations.
What is the one thing you will not stand in line for?
Well, you know, I love lines and I hate them. And I myself, the way I got involved with the psychology of queuing, I had such a bad line experience in a box store once that I made a lifetime pledge never, ever, ever to go back there again. So I asked my students, I said, how many of you have ever had such a bad service experience that you made your lifetime pledge never, ever to go back there again? More than half the students raised their hands. And I think this is something that retailers and service providers don't understand, that if they don't pay a lot of attention to their customers' line experiences, they may lose a customer for life.
Dick Larson is an engineering professor at MIT and is an expert on lines. Dick, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.